कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्दा जय चैतन्य
The following is an Ekadasi lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 10, 1984. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 12.
द्रव्यं कर्म च कालश्च स्वभावो जीव एव च यदनुग्रहता शान्ति न शान्ति यदुपेक्षया द्रव्यं कर्म च कालश्च स्वभावो जीव एव च यदनुग्रहता शान्ति न शान्ति यदुपेक्षया
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One should know definitely that all material ingredients, activities, time, modes, and the living entities who are meant to enjoy them all exist by His mercy only. And as soon as He does not care for them, everything becomes non-existent. Translation with repetition. One should know. Definitely. That all material ingredients, activities, time, modes, and the living entities who are meant to enjoy them all, exist by His mercy only. And as soon as He does not care for them, Everything becomes non-existent. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Nithai Gaura Chandra, Jai Sikhi Jagannath Balaram. Purport, the living entities are the enjoyers of the material ingredients. Time, modes, etc. Because they want to lord it over the material nature. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and the living entities are meant to assist the Lord in His enjoyment, and thus participate in the transcendental enjoyment of everyone. The enjoyer and the enjoyed both participate in enjoyment. But deluded by the illusory energy, the living entities want to become the enjoyer like the Lord, although they are not meant for such enjoyment. The jivas, or the living entities, are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the superior nature, or para-prakriti, of the Lord. And so also it is mentioned in the Vishnu Purana. Therefore, the living entities are never the purushas, or the factual enjoyers. As such, the spirit of enjoyment by the living entity in the material world is false. In the material world, the living entities are pure, in the spiritual world, the living entities are pure in nature, and therefore they are associates in the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, the spirit of everyone The spirit of enjoyment by the living entities, by dint of their own actions, karma, becomes gradually faded by the laws of nature, and thus the illusory energy dictates in the ear of the conditioned souls to become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of the illusory energy. When the last illusion is also cleared off by the mercy of the Lord, the living entity again becomes reinstated in his original position and thus becomes actually liberated. And for this attainment of liberation from the material clutches, the Lord creates the material world. maintains it for some time, 1,000 years of his measurement, as is stated in the previous verse, and then again annihilates. Living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and all their so-called enjoyments by scientific improvement are crushed into dust when the Lord desires. So everyone is coming from the Lord. Janmadyasya yataha. He is the origin. He is Adi original. He is the cause of all causes. He is the Parama Purusha. He is the supreme enjoyer. In the material world, there are many, many enjoyers. But this is not the real position of the jiva or living entity. Living entity is not meant to be an enjoyer. It is meant to, the living entity, he is meant to be enjoyed. In the spiritual world, whether the devotees have male or female form, they're all prakriti or energies of the Lord, and they help to give the Lord enjoyment, and therefore they also enjoy transcendental bliss. Beyond what to speak of this material happiness, beyond even the bliss of liberation. In fact, liberation is described to be just like a small little cup of water as compared to the ocean. Literally, the Vedas describe that the calf of a cow's hoof in the water, in the mud, the amount of water that that little hoof print holds, you compare that to how much water does the ocean hold, like the Pacific Ocean. And that is how much more happiness there is in serving Krishna and giving him happiness. Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatano. Because we are parts and parcels of Krishna, we are his minute fragment. Therefore, when Krishna is pleased, we automatically become satisfied. We achieve transcendental happiness. So in the spiritual world, everyone is prakriti, para prakriti, or the spiritual energies of the Lord. But in this material world, whether in a material male body or female body, everyone is falsely assuming the attitude of enjoyers. That is why, especially in the West, where this spirit of enjoyment has been promoted, irregardless of caste, color, creed, sex, religion, whatever. Spirit of enjoyment has been promoted so much that everyone has entered into the field of competition for who is going to be the greater enjoyer. And if anyone stands in the way, then that is a matter for which mass movements, political uprisings, and so on can be held in the name of so-called liberation movements of various kinds. So, the basic idea is everyone wants the equal enjoyment, equal opportunity to enjoy. That means everybody is competing to be an enjoyer. And ultimately, that is why we're in this material world. It's because somehow or another, we want to also be an equal enjoyer with God. Why should God enjoy more than us? Why should he be the supreme person? But the original supreme person is always original and supreme. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not a democratic process. We happen to be his eternal part and parcel. And in this false position as enjoyers, actually there's no happiness. So after getting bored with trying to enjoy in an unnatural situation, then Maya, seeing that we're starting to lose our enthusiasm to enjoy the senses, whispers in our ear that you can merge in the existence of the Lord, you can become one with God. And then they become very so-called renounced, detached from gross material things, but actually their nature is, their condition is to become much more fallen, because then one thing is to be an enjoyer, imitating the Lord. The other thing is to actually want to become one with the Lord. That is a greater offense. So, these are different stages of illusion. So although we respect sometimes these Gana yogis as transcendentalists, actually, impersonalists were not really, they were not appreciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at all. In fact, he said, Mayavadi, Hoyo, Krishna, Aparadi. That an impersonalist is actually an offender of Krishna. Because the impersonalists, they're directly trying to become one with Krishna. Or they say that, well, we're one with God. Everyone is God. So in this way, they're actually insulting Krishna's transcendental and absolute position. And in so many other ways, when they preach to establish their false philosophies, they have to also, whenever the idea of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes up, they have to denounce that in order to maintain their impersonal idea. So in this way, they become offenders of Krishna. So why does Krishna come down amongst all these competitors and offenders and so on? Because in this material world, there are also many devotees of the Lord. Krishna describes that there are two kinds of living entities. Even those who want to enjoy, there are those who want to enjoy, but at the same time, they have respect and devotion for the Lord. And actually, they approach the Lord to help them in their material conquests. Similarly, on the other side of the coin, there are those who are wanting to enjoy, but they are demons, and they want to do so at any cost, even against the sanctioned methods given by the Lord. So amongst those devotees who are trying to enjoy, there are devotees who are at different stages of purity. That devotee who is worshipping Krishna directly, simply for the desire to please Krishna and not for any other material motive, not for any material motive, that devotee is considered to be a pure devotee. And to satisfy them, Krishna comes down, as well as to attract the other devotees to what is the real purpose of life, what is the real happiness in life. That trying to enjoy this dead material energy is actually a futile attempt, which leads one into deeper and deeper stages of frustration, until one contemplates committing spiritual suicide, known as merging. It's a spiritual suicide. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, they came down to attract the living entities, to give them an opportunity that you're looking for happiness. This is where the real happiness is. In transcendental exchanges with the Lord. When Krishna came down, everyone in the entire world became a Krishna conscious. Whenever Krishna is present, it polarizes things. The devotees, they immediately become attracted. And they all want to discuss Krishna. And the demons, they also become immediately attracted, but they also want to discuss Krishna, but they are envious. So all of the demons, they came forward, and those who became fully Krishna conscious, they got the opportunity of being annihilated by Krishna materially and spiritually liberated, which is what they wanted. But they didn't have to go through any more birth. And the devotees, they were able to leave this material world and to transfer themselves somewhere to Krishna's pastimes, and to, in this way, also achieve liberation from the influence of the three modes of material nature in the association of the Supreme Lord. Now, many souls were there who did not get that opportunity. They were not humans or otherwise available for being liberated by the Lord. So again, the Lord came as His own devotee, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to attract and to uplift and to send off these fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead. So, Lord Chaitanya was just a small baby, only 2 years old, because today is Ekadasi. There was a story how Lord Chaitanya, he was crying and crying as a little Nimai. And normally whenever Lord Nimai would cry, his parents and other neighbor women, they'd start to clap their hands and chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, in different chants. And this way, Krishna would, Krishna Chaitanya, in his baby form, he would stop crying. But this day, no matter how hard they chanted, he wouldn't stop. It was very puzzling for them. Finally, they called Jagannath Misra, and he came, and he asked Nimai, why you are crying? So Nimai, in his little, he's only like 2 years old, in his little broken voice, he's saying that, I want to go to Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit's house. Jagannath Misra was very surprised at why he wants to go there. Two of his intimate friends, but they live about 2 miles away on the other side of the river, in what today is very near the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, behind there. Why does he want to go there? So why do you want to go there? Because today they're having a big feast. Even Jagannath Misra didn't know they're having a big... Why they're having a big feast? It's because it's Harivasar. It's the Lord's day. It's Ekadasi. Today's Ekadasi. Yeah. How did little Nimai know that today, or even what Ekadasi was? What 2-year-old child knows what Ekadasi is even? And how did he know that Jagandish, Pandit and Hiranya were having a big festival? Was it real? Were they really having a festival? Then Lord Nimai saw his father was hesitating. He started crying again. So that became so unbearable. It's all right, I'll take you. He's laughing and he stopped the seat for him. And he was laughing and he was so happy. So little Jagannath Misra, he carried little Nimai over to the house of let's give at least that seat at least. The house of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. Sure enough, because for us it's a fast day, but for the Lord it's not a fast day. We can offer Him grain. So, they had so many 60-100 preparations, all spread out in front of the, in a decorative way, in front of the Lord's altar. Actually, want to do that for the Panihati festival, but we did as well as we could. One time we were invited, just off the point slightly, we were invited to one Vaishnava's house. He had Lord Chaitanya temple for Julan. And for Julan, it's customary in Bengal to put on little dioramas, moving dioramas. They have, for Ras Leela. And they have Ras, they have everyone, all the big people. It's very common to find mechanical Ras Leela, where they have Radha Krishna and Radha in the center, and then little gopis, or Krishna gopi, or just single gopis, like at least eight, and they spinning around, and some of them more intricate, they have the gopis turning this way, and they have them going that way, it's like orbiting, and Radha Krishna swing, you know, they have all kind of little arrangements. And then they show other dioramas of different avatars. So we were invited to Tushar Kanti, Tarun Kanti Ghosh's temple. His grandfather was a famous Vaishnava who wrote books on Lord Chaitanya and was a contemporary of Bhaktivinod. He was the founding editor of the, at that time, the largest English newspaper and the largest Bengali newspaper. Now they're the second largest. But to combine, they have more circulation. But anyway, he's very prominent family. His grandfather used to say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the seventh Goswami. So Prabhupada was very kind to them, and he said we should go there and patronize that temple. So we went. And there I had the big deity of Lord Chaitanya, and they kept 24-hour kirtan going on all the time. Any Vaishnava would come by, was hungry or something, they could stay there and he'd feed them, but they'd have to take shifts in chanting, and he'd keep... Somehow he always had 24-hour kirtan going on. So whenever you drive by, if you stop, you can hear. His house is just by the road out to Mayapur. You can hear, Hare Krishna, you know, little some kirtan going on. One man, usually even one man or two men. Ba-boom, boom, going on. So they offered, this time they had, say, about 20 devotees. And for each devotee, for each preparation, say they had about 64 preparations per devotee. I mean, 64 different preparations. And for each devotee, they had little clay cups about this big, like little flat ones. And they put all the preparations that were going to be given to all the devotees in the cups. And they spread it all out in a huge triangle in front of the deity. And then they had, of course, a big curtain in front, and they were offering. And when they were offering this over, then they opened the curtain, and you saw literally thousands of little clay cups. Of course, it wasn't a good process to keep the prasad hot, but the visual effect was fantastic. It was a... amazing thing. So, like this, Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit, they had somehow or another arranged all the preparations in a very decorative way in front of the Lord. And you could see there was something very special. So, I mean, I've seen a few like this nice decorative things, so I have some idea, but I'm sure that we couldn't really describe how wonderfully they did it because they're all being pure devotees. And it must have been so special because Krishna himself came there in the form of an imai. And then Jagannath Misra, I explained to them, well, this is why I've come here, that the little imai, he's said you're having a big festival, and he was crying because you didn't invite and he wanted to go there. And they hadn't told anybody because it was a Ekadasi, so no one could eat the prasadams anyway. And Nimai said, I want the feast. Little two-year-old. And they thought, well, he's 2 years. Then they said, well, listen, if he must be like somehow Krishna must be speaking through him. He didn't tell anybody but the deity, and he knows. So if he takes the prasad, we take it that this is, I'm not sure whether they offered him the boga too or it was the prasad. They took it some very special sign that the Lord... has sent over Nimai. Little did they know that actually it was the Lord himself came over to accept their offering. We may make some special offering and the Lord himself may come like this and accept it. There's a saying in the Puranas that Atithi Narayan, that an unknown, unexpected guest who just shows up should be treated like Narayana. Because in the hidden purport is that sometimes even Narayana has come in disguise to his devotee's house. And just like that time when there was that, wasn't Rikti Maharaj? Rikti was the one who was Ranti, he was so charitable. I think this mentioned in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Ranti Maharaj? That Ranti Dev, that he was so charitable that he was fasting for some time or something. He had his meal and then they offered, and then immediately just when he was about to take, who was it came? Different personalities came. A dog eater came, I'm starving, and so then I gave him half. And he was about to eat, and he had been fasting a long time, he was really ravenously hungry, then who came? Just one after another, people, old lady came, and this one, that one, they all, so finally he just had like one glass of water left. And then some guy, some person, I'm starving for water. I remember that he gave the water away. And he was about ready to die at that time. All these people who had come there all assembled, and then they changed their form to their original form, and they were different demigods. And even I think Vishnu himself came. I'm not sure. I can't remember all the details. And they benedicted him. So the unknown guest, someone just comes. In India, still today, when I used to go on Sankirtan with even up to 20 devotees, we would never make any arrangement where to stay. Of course, they don't have any KAO camps, KOA camp, whatever. They don't have any arrangement. We'd just drive off, and at 4 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon, wherever you were, we'd go to we'd ask around who's the person in this town that has big religious festivals or does Hari Nam in his house or something like that. And then we'd find out who the wealthiest person in the town is. And we would drive up, go to his door and ask if he know anywhere where we could stay. We'd come to the town to preach Hari Nam. And invariably they'd say, "No, you must stay here." That was the wonderful thing about India. So then he'd give us, if they're very big, they have special guest rooms that they keep just for guests, a little bit on the outside of, not within their house. And if sometimes they even bring you right into their house and their whole family will move out of rooms, so, because they spread out naturally, you know, nobody leaves the rooms empty unless, you know, normally they empty out the rooms and they put you in. So then, we were on a low-budget program, so what we do is, I'd give up a shopping. We said, plus, we don't like to eat the food. They always want to give you food cooked by them, and we don't. It's embarrassing to ask if they eat onions or drink coffee. It's all these, you know, we have all these rules. So we normally cook ourselves, and we carry deities and offer to our deities. So then, we send the shopper to the gentleman and ask him that, where is the marketplace? We want to go out and buy food for a deity. And he'd get all of a sudden, I get all excited. What? Grab the list and say, what do you want? When you're a guest in my house, how can I allow you to go to the market and buy? What will people say? I will get these things. And it was very exciting. Sometimes, we just had to depend on Krishna. Sometimes, you know, they'd be out or said, but usually we never went a day without somehow or another finding a place to stay. It was really just depending on Krishna. Even, and I was with 10, 15, 8 people, 20 people, we got a little shook up, but he usually kept it under a dozen, so. So we had four. But we didn't stay long. We just stay 1 or 2 days and go on. Prabhupada said, guests shouldn't stay too long. And in this way, we gave the opportunity to the grihasthas that they could do some Krishna seva. And in many cases, they became life members, or they became very favorable because of that associations. Seeing a whole have arti in their house, and devotees chanting japa, the children would come forward, and we teach them how to chant japa. It was very wonderful. So, in this way, they were treating atiti, or unexpected guests, just like Narayana, or just like as if the Lord himself had come. And they would say something, no, atiti Narayana, we must. In fact, one time I went to a temple when I was doing research for Hidden Tirthas. I was looking for the birthplace of Krishnadas Kaviraj, and nobody knew where it was. So I had a friend who's the head priest and the descendant of Gadadhar Das Pandit, Das Gadadhar, at Katwa, Nandananda Goswami. And so I went to him to ask if he could give one of his followers or associates to guide us, because I heard it was in that area and no one could tell us where it was. And he said, no, you have to cross over a river and there's no bridge. So I had to put our jeep on a bamboo boat, which was just like, in any minute you thought the jeep would fall in the river, but like this. He said, you had to take the, he said, well, I'll give you someone, don't worry. So that time it was 12 noon, so he said, well, it's a long way from Mayapur, we've been going since the morning, so you kindly, if you can give the person as soon as possible, we'll be off. He said, no way. You're not going until you take prasadam. I said, no, it's so late, we have to go on, you know, we have to do the Lord's service, you know, we can't think about ourselves. He said, I'm the pujari here, you've come in the Lord's house, you're the Lord's guest, you're doing the Lord's work, but the Lord, he also has his business. His business is to serve his devotee. You're not leaving unless you take prasadam. He says, will you disobey or refuse the Lord's mercy? Say it that way. And it just happened that day, they had a very special prasad, 4 or 5 different types of green leafy vegetables. Especially the Lord likes the things from the forest and just wild type of vegetables. And they had very many special preparations. So in this way, sometimes we were prevailed upon. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here he just suddenly showed up in their house. You know, they could think, well, he's an unexpected visitor, Atiti Narayan. But in this case, he actually is Krishna himself. He was Narayana. And that was the special mercy. But they took it that how could he know all these offerings? He must be actually the Lord himself. Or he must be, I've been inspired by the Lord, so this is like a special auspicious sign. We should take it as something very extraordinary. So, somehow or another, the more that we can develop this service attitude, that is actually beneficial to us. The enjoying attitude is a kind of a perverted situation, which ultimately doesn't satisfy us. That's why Maya, then, knows we're not going to be satisfied, so her last trick is that, alright, you now merge. You now become one with God. You become God yourself. Which is a big trick of Maya. When you become frustrated from enjoying, then we should actually change our attitude and become active in serving the Lord. But because we already have this enjoying attitude, this idea to become one with God is just the type of extension of that enjoying attitude. So we should be very fearful about this impersonal concept of God realization. That concept is very, very dangerous. It is disguised as something very detached, very good, very auspicious or renounced. But actually, it is a greater kind of enjoying, selfish, and actually non-beneficial attitude. But it's disguised, so a person thinks, well, I'm now very detached. And people think, like I was on a radio show in New Orleans, and the person said, well, you're coming here, and isn't this, you have so many big temples, and you're giving out prasadam and doing so many, but is it the real purpose of Krishna consciousness to lose your ego, to become nothing, to, you know, he started speaking all Zen Buddhist ideas, which is the void. And we had to, over the radio, we had to somehow or another try to steer him on the right track. But this is the general, that was Joe somebody, the announcer, famous announcer in New Orleans. 21 years he did that program. Joe something, I forget Joe. He said his friends call him Joe, so we call him Joe. So, we find this general misunderstanding. People think that Krishna consciousness means to renounce everything and give everything away. And in India, it's not uncommon to find people with millions of rupees and so many possessions. They think, well, before I become a devotee, I should give it all away to my relatives. And then I'll come empty-handed as I am to Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that, why give it all away to your relatives? You should give to Krishna at least 50%. In fact, even keep 25% for emergency, for yourself. Family members don't need more than 25%. So, that was the example given by Rupa and Sanatana. Because we use all of these energies in Krishna's service, so therefore we are not going to be put into difficulty. Normally people wanting material things to enjoy, and they think that giving that up, that's the opposite of enjoyment, therefore they're transcendental. But that's actually the impersonal idea. We take material things, instead of trying to enjoy them, we offer them to the service of Krishna for His enjoyment. In this way, we should think of so many ideas how to expand the devotional service of the Lord for His enjoyment, and that will be the most purifying for us. And of course, Krishna is especially satisfied when His devotee is served. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So one point, of course, is that even at the age of 2, Lord Chaitanya was preaching Ekadasi, the importance of following Ekadasi. So this Ekadasi is very beneficial, because on this day it's easier by chanting more and hearing and practicing our devotional service carefully. It's easier to develop spontaneous devotional symptoms. So here on Ekadasi, when we have the presence of a great devotee, we could request Rupanuga Prabhu Maharaj to speak something for our purification.
So I feel like Kamaduk, by on demand, producing so much nectar. But actually, I'm not a Kamaduk. In the spiritual world, because everyone is centered, their consciousness is completely centered on Krishna. Actually, all their desires are fulfilled by Krishna's grace. But Krishna wants us to make progress in this material world to become eligible to return back home, back to Godhead. So he's given us Ekadasi as a day to increase our consciousness of him. And if I can just recall the original Ekadasi preparations in ISKCON, I think that would be my most valuable contribution. I remember when I was first introduced to Ekadasi, it was in New York at the 26th Second Avenue, and the original Ekadasi preparations were the following. Peanuts and raisins with all spices. That means everything. I once saw Shrub Hobbod. I'll tell you a little side story here. Of course, this is about another preparation which we don't eat on a cost, but we offer. One day, Shrub Hobbod, I came in the storefront, and the devotees were very excited. Shrub Hobbod's cooking breakfast. So I said, cooking breakfast? What is Shrub Hobbod cooking? He's cooking it was a grain cereal that we'll take for breakfast before we go out to work and do our duties. So, but you can come up. And we were all up there watching Shrub Hobbod cook. So Shrub Hobbod was frying in a pan. And I was watching him going to the spice shelf. Everything in the spice shelf was coming in. Everything. All the hot stuff, the nutmeg, everything was coming. So, but one thing I noticed was that it was a very small amount in the small pan, the small amount, and I was thinking, of course, wow, we're all going to be hungry, we're going to work, Sasri Maharaj is going to go to the office, Brahmananda is going, I'm going, all the boys are going to start their activities, and we were used to a big breakfast, a big pot of cereal and fruit and milk. So I was thinking, this is Shrub Hobbod's preparing such a little bit, but, you know, we'll see. So then Shrub Hobbod said, you will be, the devotees had told me before, Shrub Hobbod said, just a little of the cereal will be very satisfying. So we went downstairs. And later on, this small amount came down, and truly, I took one bite and I was completely satisfied. And so that reminded me, because Shrub Hobbod put every spice in the cabinet into this. So peanuts and raisins, fried peanuts, with all spices. Then the next preparation, which was always there, was a fruit salad with yogurt. Different fruits mixed with yogurt. And the other preparation was coconut and potatoes. This was a very nice preparation. Actually, what we'd do was boil a pot of potatoes, peel them. We never offered anything to the Lord unless it was unpeeled. We never offered potatoes with peels. And Shrub Hobbod said that actually the skins are simply to protect the vegetable from the ground. So we took that seriously. So we had potatoes, and then we would separate the potatoes. And some potatoes we'd mix in coconut shavings and salt and pepper and butter. That was basically that preparation. Another preparation, we put in turmeric and yogurt. So we had coconut potatoes. And we had, the third preparation was another potato preparation made with sweet potatoes. This was called sweet, sweet potatoes. And that was, again, simply boiled, peeled and boiled, and then mixed with brown sugar or molasses. So that three potato preparations, the fruit salad preparation, and the peanuts and raisins. That was it. And the point was that you could take as much as you wanted one time. Everyone was served once, as much as you like, but you had to finish your plate in no seconds. And that was our feast. Actually, everyone looked forward to Ekadasi for these preparations, because everyone loved these preparations, and you never got them any other time. So whenever Ekadasi came, we never looked at it. Shrub Hobbod was so kind. I don't know. That came in about 1970, I think. But we look forward to Ekadasi. The other thing was we used to chant 25 rounds. Because Shrub Hobbod said, on that day, you should try to increase your chanting. So we encouraged. It wasn't a hard and fast rule. But we used to try to chant extra rounds. And he said, on this day, working is not so encouraged. More just preaching and chanting and extra reading. It was a day that Krishna had given for increased facility for developing Krishna consciousness. So I'm reminded of that. And then, of course, over the years, gradually these things. But I'd like to see that reinstituted. It was very nice, simple preparation. Everybody was always very satisfied, even though we only were allowed one helping. It was a, sort of like a discipline that we all liked that. So that's about all I can remember about Ekadasi for now. I want to request the cooking department the next Ekadasi we have those preparations. And it would be a great great thing for me. I mean, I remember all that, and I think everyone would enjoy them. I can help prepare them. They're very simple. You don't even think about grains when those nice preparations. Potatoes are the king of vegetable. We always took that seriously whenever we could prepare potatoes in different ways. Isn't it? In this country, people think potatoes are like third class or something, but actually, in Vedic culture, potatoes are considered to be first class. So many different potato preparations. So we had three potato preparations on Ekadasi.
Ekadasi is an opportunity to make advancement in devotional service. So we look forward to every opportunity.
Also, we used to fast. We often used to fast one thing. Skip breakfast. That's the meal I just mentioned. It was a noon meal.
Srila Prabhupada said, for us, feasting and fasting, it's all the same. Our fast, our feast. Every fast ends with a feast, and every. But even the fasting itself is a feast for us. It's all one. It's all for the service of Krishna. It's all a festival. They had it decorated with paper and tinsels. And
it's very dull without this festival.
There's not enough festivals. Now we need traveling festival also. Very nice.
That's wonderful. That should become a zonal festival. It's a very good festival.
Actually, we had a Prabhupada Lila Smaran here, but that'd be a nice thing is actually before that to take Prabhupada a little procession.
Yeah.
Should the Prabhupada fit through any of the doors easily here? Can he fit through the door?
Came in, get out.
Well, sometimes, you know, You want to take him out dignified. No, I came in. But that was very nice in New Telavon. They took him on a morning walk with all the devotees. In both places, you were present when Prabhupada was there. So you
know, I wasn't in New Telavon.
I saw your picture here in Atlanta. So you would know where... You can tell us where Srila Prabhupada went. Any other questions? Yes? No, they've already announced me going to Toronto. We're going to meet, I think Hari K. Swami will be there. Going to meet him and then had some disciples there that needed to get second initiation or something, so they were asking if I could come up before I left. Nithaya Guru Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Today the deities look happy.